4, and I am thankful for the Bible. And this evening, we're going to look at just the first 27 verses, a lengthy chapter, and we're going to get into it a little bit, but we're only going to go through really the first third of this particular chapter this evening. And as we really get into the text, I want to ask you a series of questions, and really not for you to answer out loud, but just to kind of start provoking your thought this evening. How many of you know that you need God to lead you? I mean, you need God to lead you. How many of you ask God to lead you? See, it's a good thing to know that you need God to lead you, but it must be followed up with asking God to lead us. And then I ask this question, how many of us follow when God leads? We recognize that we need His leadership, we pray for His leadership, and then He gives an answer and we say, that's not really the way I thought I was going to go. I think I'm going to go this way. Or how many of us really have that humility to, I'm going to follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. And then I think of this, how many of us pause to thank God for His leadership in our lives? The text before us this evening here in Genesis 24 records a major event of Jewish history. What is that event? Well, it's the marriage of Isaac. I mean, this is important. We understand the significance of the text of Scripture, and we understand all that's taking place. And Abraham, he's old and he's well stricken in age, and he's concerned about the marriage of his son, rightly so. And I mean, this is a very important portion of Scripture. And we understand that, but I want you to understand also that there's a powerful lesson that's tucked within this passage regarding a man given a task that is near impossible. And how God intervened. See, this evening there are times in which we have things laid before us, responsibilities that we've been given, and we're trying to go through life, want to please God, and we need God to lead us. And I've titled the message this evening, The Lord Led Me, and we're going to get through all of it, but I want you to notice, if you will, in verse 26 and 27, it'll be the very end of the message, but I'm going to read it by way of introduction. In verse 26, it says, the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And I've simply titled the message this evening, The Lord Led Me. The Scripture does not tell us who the man is. In fact, as you read there with me in verse 26, it says, and the man bowed down his head. I believe that it's probably Eleazar. If you disagree with that, that's fine. I'm not going to argue with you over it. But as you study the Scriptures, I believe that's who this servant is. But again, that's not really the point of the text. You will hear me often, though, throughout the message this evening, referring to Eleazar, and that's why I'm going to refer to it that way. Again, if you disagree, we could chat later. But don't turn me off just for that simple thought. But notice with me, if you're taking notes, we're going to jump right into the thought. The points this evening. Number one, Eleazar is assigned a great responsibility. He is given a responsibility. As you read verses 1 through 9, the assignment given is of significant importance and was really too great for him. Notice, if you will, in verse number 1, the Bible says, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house. I believe, again, that that's Eleazar if you go back to Genesis 15 and verse 2, but again, it's not the point of the message this evening, so that's why I'll refer to it that way. But it says that ruled over all that he had, and here's what Abraham said to him, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. In these first four verses, as we open up Genesis chapter 24, we find that the assignment is given. This is a great responsibility. It's of significant importance. I can't even begin to imagine the weight of such responsibility. I cannot fully comprehend being in the position of Eleazar, nor can I understand being in the position of Abraham to call in his servant and to assign such a task, this great measure of responsibility. We see the heart of Abraham. We see the significance of what's taking place and the cultural aspects where he tells him to put his hand under his thigh and all of this that's taking place. And we find that Eleazar is hearing this task as it's being assigned to him. And we find that it's very specific in verse 3 and 4 what the task is to find a wife, not in this place, but in this place. But think about even knowing the general area in which he's to go to find a wife for his master's son. There are many women in that place, many ladies that could possibly be the one. And this is a task that is of significant importance, a task that is overwhelming, a task that truly is too great for him. In fact, as you read verse number 5, it begins to see that Eleazar is responding, and it seems as if there's a measure of doubt that Eleazar has. Notice he says in verse 5, "And the servant said unto him," and so he responds to Abraham, and notice what he says. "Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest?" So Eleazar is thinking in such terms that not only the task and how am I supposed to find the one, but let's just say I find the one, how am I going to get her to come? The doubt and the significance of this task. And I find that in verses 6 through 8 that Abraham responds to his servant. And it's so powerful what we read in verses 6 through 8. And really we see the confidence of Abraham, the faith of Abraham. And we see in Abraham's response to Eleazar, a man who had proven God, a man who knew the God of heaven, a man that had confidence that God could lead, and that had such an influence and an impact on Eleazar. Notice in verse number 6 that Abraham responds and says this, "Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again." Notice what Abraham says in verse 7, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again." We find in verse number 7 that Abraham goes all the way back to really the call that God placed on his life and the promise that God gave. And Abraham, now a man that is old and well stricken in age, according to verse number 1, looks back briefly over his life. And you know what he sees? He sees that God's been faithful. He finds that God has been leading him. Remember, when if you look at the text of Scripture back in Genesis chapter number 12, when you begin to see what's taking place, that the Lord had said in verse number 1 of Genesis 12 unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Abraham was not told in Genesis 12 and verse number 1 exactly the destination where he would reach. He just simply knew that God said, "I'm going to bring you into a land." And we find that in verse number 4, "So Abram departed and God led him." Abraham is going to speak to Eleazar, and as Eleazar raises this concern and this measure of doubt, we find that Abraham thinks back to all of what God has done in his life. Can I tell you this evening, God has worked in your life, and God has worked in my life, and it's important that we remember that God has led us, and that gives us the confidence to know that God will continue to lead us, that He knows best and that He will answer that prayer when we seek Him for wisdom, when we seek Him for direction in our lives. We say, "God, lead me in a plain path. I mean, make it abundantly clear. Order my steps, Lord." And we find that this task is assigned. It's a great responsibility. But we understand that the confidence and faith that is revealed on the part of Abraham here in verses 6 through 8 has a powerful impact upon Eleazar. Could I remind you this evening that there are people that are coming behind us that need to see us trusting God and communicating to a future generation how God has led us and how God has been faithful. Why? Because that will lead them to placing their faith in God and putting their trust in God. This evening, we find that Eleazar is assigned this task. If you're taking notes, notice number two, Eleazar makes a specific request. As you begin looking at what takes place in verse 9, it says, "And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels with the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor." In verse 11, he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And notice in specifically in verses 12 through 14, look at this specific request. The Bible says in verse number 12, "And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. The daughters of all the, of the men of the city come out to draw water." In verse 14, "And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." Begin to look at this request, this specific request that Eleazar makes, and I find this evening that prayer makes all the difference. Aren't you thankful? I preached on Wednesday evening about the fact that thou called and I answered from Psalm 81, that we have a God who hears and answers. We have a God who delights in answering and showing himself mighty and powerful. But the question that I have this evening as I look at the passage of Scripture and the question that the Lord has just impressed upon my heart and challenged me with is this tonight. Do we have the kind of faith to pray prayers like this? I mean, specific. I mean, proving God kind of prayers. Not just generic praying, but I'm talking about specific praying that we can see. Listen, we have a God in heaven that can do all things. We have a God that is the God of the impossible. There's nothing too difficult for him. And we find that Eleazar here, as he begins to seek the face of God, we understand as we look here, I read the prayer. It's a short prayer. There's nothing in this prayer that's lengthy whatsoever. I would say that what characterizes the prayer is that it's simple. It's specific, but it's full of faith. How are we to pray? Believing. Right? We're to pray? Believing. Having confidence that God can, that God is able. And we find this evening, how many times do we read throughout the gospel accounts where because of their unbelief, he did not many mighty works here. Why? Because of their unbelief. And we understand this evening that as we look through even portions of the New Testament and read that during the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, it reminds us of the children of Israel in Numbers 14 when they did not believe God. And I want you to look at the prayer here this evening of this man Eleazar and see that it's simple, it's specific, but it's full of faith. Notice he begins really worshiping, "O Lord God of my master Abraham," and he prays specifically, notice, "Send me good speed this day." The matter was urgent. And he prays that God would hear and answer in haste, that God would answer speedily. "Show kindness unto my master." And then he speaks about where he is and the circumstances with regard to what's taking place in this particular setting. And it says in verse number 14, "And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say." drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. This is specific. I mean, he's understanding the task, the significance of the responsibility that's been laid upon him. But he makes a specific request, believing that God is able to answer specifically this request. Listen, I don't think Eleazar had a desire to come back to Isaac with just any person. I think he truly desired to ensure that he would bring back the one that God had for Isaac. And he understood the significance of the event. He understood the responsibility that was bestowed upon him, and he goes and he makes this specific request. Understand with me this evening that camels drink a lot of water. Camels drink a lot of water. And to pray that this damsel, that he would say to her, give me drink, that she would respond by saying, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Understand that as he's praying, he does not say that he's going to ask the damsel for drink himself and also for drink for the camels. He simply says that he's going to ask the damsel for drink and let her say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. And notice what he says, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. So he's praying, listen, don't let just anyone answer in this way. I'm praying specifically, and I'm looking for a specific response from the one that I'm going to say. Notice he says that I shall say, let down thy pitcher that I may drink. And the one that I say that to, if she's not the right one, how am I going to know that she's the right one? Because she's going to respond in a very specific way in how he's praying. Do you see how he's proving God? And I just wonder tonight, do I have that kind of faith to pray that specific? When we pray generic prayers, did God answer? Did he not answer? Do we really know? It's just a generic, God bless them, whatever. Do you understand what I'm saying? But when you pray like this, it shows faith. Shows faith. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby, notice what he says. When she responds in that fashion, he's going to know that God has answered and God has worked and God has revealed to him the one that he's to take back to Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. I see the simplicity of the prayer, the specific nature of the prayer, the prayer that's full of faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It says before, I quoted only the latter part, without faith it is impossible to please him. God wants us to pray believing, pray in faith. Believing that God is able. I think about this specific request and I think about the title of the message and what we'll get to in just a few moments when we see that he makes that statement, as we read by way of introduction, that the Lord led me. You know, sometimes when we pray, when we're asking for God's leadership or God's direction, we're really just praying that God would place his stamp of approval on the way that I want to go. Does that make sense? God, here's how I want to go. Here's what I want to do. And so would you put your stamp of approval on it? Because I want your stamp of approval. And that's a lot different than just saying, God, lead me. Wherever, into whatever situation, God, lead me. And this is a really simple personal illustration, but I hope that it will help you this evening to be able to understand what I mean by this. How many of you believe this evening that God could change the direction of the wind? I believe that. How many of you ever blown leaves and it's been contrary? You ever do that? You know, the Bible talks about they were toiling and rowing, the disciples. And I always get a picture in my mind of them toiling and rowing. I mean, they're just doing everything they possibly can do and they're just going nowhere. Why? Because the Bible says that the wind was contrary. They're toiling and rowing. I was out here a few weeks ago, and I was blowing off the parking lot after doing some lawn care, and I was blowing off the parking lot, and as I'm blowing off, and those of you that have done it up here, it's windy up on the top of this hill. It's just it's windy today everywhere, but on just calm, normal days, you'll still have more wind up here just because of where we sit. And it's not like we're on that high of a hill, but it's just the nature of where we are. And so I'm blowing, and I'm blowing the leaves off and the grass clippings and whatever, and I'm trying to clean up the parking lot. And it seems as if, Brother Mark, as I'm blowing it this way, it's going good, and then all of a sudden a big gust of wind comes and blows it all back here. And you know, I got flesh just like you do, and I'm like, seriously? And here's what I prayed. I said, God, would you make the wind blow in this direction so that I could get this accomplished quicker? Now, I believe God could do that. I have no doubt in my mind that God could do that. God didn't speak to me with an audible voice, but it's almost like he did. And here's what God taught me in that moment when I prayed that way. It was almost like God said to me, why are you praying that way? Why not see how I'm making the wind blow and you blow in that direction? That's a simple personal illustration. I'm telling you, God can teach us lessons anywhere. And God taught me a lesson on the blacktop out there just a few weeks ago, because what was happening is I was praying, God, would you make it blow this way because this is the way I want it to go? And it was as if God said, I'm blowing the wind the way that I'm blowing the wind, and why don't you start blowing the leaves the way that I'm blowing the wind? I began to think about my own life, and I began to think about the truth of God's word. There are times in our lives that we do the very same thing. God, here's the direction I want to go, and just bless me. Just put your stamp of approval, because that's what I want to do. And God is saying, no, I want to lead you this way. Instead of you just praying that I would bless the path that you've chosen, why don't you truly seek my path? I used this statement last night at the men's meeting, and I heard it last week. It's not original with me, but oh, how it just impressed upon my heart this great truth. The fellow that I heard make this statement, oftentimes we talk about God's will for our lives. And it's important that we understand God's will for our lives, and we endeavor that we want to do the will of God with our lives. And there's plenty of people that would answer the question, what do you want to do with your life, and what is my will for my life? And then we say, no, let's talk about what God's will is for your life. And here's what I heard, and it was so impactful to me, and it was this. A man said this, instead of asking what is God's will for my life, how about we start saying my life is to do God's will? Not so much what is God's will for my life, but my life is to do the will of God. And we find that Eleazar here in this specific request, he's praying with faith, he's praying it with simplicity. It is extremely specific, and he's full of faith. God, work in this way. Make this task that is too great for me. Can I tell you this evening that life is too hard for all of us? Life is too hard for every single one of us. You say, listen, I got it figured out. You write a book, get a podcast, do something, because if you got it figured out, people will flock to you. I'm being sarcastic. Life is challenging. You ever been thrown a curveball? In life, a curveball. Sure you have. We all have. I played baseball for years, and I understand as they would talk about that idea of life throwing a curveball, and I remember how many times I'd see as I played baseball, and the older you got and the better the pitchers got, how you'd see these guys bailing out of the batter's box, and there's a curveball coming, and it's called for a strike because they weren't ready for the curveball. If you don't know baseball, that's perfectly fine, but what does the hitter have to do? You got to watch the hand. You got to watch the release point. You got to watch the spin of the baseball, and you can tell. If you're good, you can tell it's a curveball as soon as it leaves the hand of the pitcher. You can tell. Now, you can't see it breaking yet, but you can tell. I caught for years, and it gave me an advantage being a catcher, seeing that perspective pitch after pitch after pitch, that when I got in the batter's box, it was a little bit easier to be able to see that. life throws us curveballs. And there are plenty of times that it happens and we said, I didn't see that coming. What I'm saying this evening is we need God to lead us. And we need to be specific about it. He gives the specific, this task is too great for me. How in the world am I going to go into this place and I'm going to find a wife for my master's son? The pressure of such responsibility. I need God. I need God. And he prays specifically. Notice in verse number 15, I love it. And it came to pass. It came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Don't rush over verse 15. Before he had done speaking. Isn't that awesome? How God is able to work. What God is able to do. Before he had done speaking, here's what's transpiring in verse 16. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And notice in verse 18, and she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Now, I don't know. Sometimes we get surprised when God answers prayer. Has that ever happened in your life? I mean, you prayed about something. You prayed specifically about something. And then God answers and it's like we're surprised like that God did it. No. God is able. And God delights in answering prayer. He delights in showing himself mighty. And here Eleazar, he runs, he's with haste, he goes and he says, let me have some water. And the Bible tells us that in verse number 19, that she says to him, after she had given him drink, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. I can't imagine the thoughts and the emotions that would go through Eleazar's mind at this particular moment, the excitement. Why? This is exactly what he prayed. She's the one. Remember, he said, thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Verse 20, and she hasted and emptied the pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wandering at her held his peace. To wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not, it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels of weight and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? There in verse number 23. Verse 24, and she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which was she bare unto Nahor. She said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. He prayed specifically, and God answered. God answered. This evening, as we think about our own prayer lives, how often is God answering our prayers? I'm talking specific prayers like this one. I'm talking prayers that we're proving God, that we're seeking the face of God. Sometimes, and please don't misunderstand me, I'm not suggesting this evening that there's a magic formula to prayer or there's a certain period of time that you ought to spend in prayer. In fact, you've heard me say over the years that sweet hour of prayer has been replaced in our generation with just a little talk with Jesus. And I think there's so much truth to that. And there's certainly an aspect of laboring in prayer and just having that time and that just persistence in prayer. But here, it's just a simple, short. There's nothing lengthy about it. I think about Nehemiah. If you read Nehemiah 1, we won't take the time to go there, but Nehemiah is praying. He gets a report and he begins to pray, and he's seeking the Lord. And then he's in the presence of Ahasuerus, and he's sad. And the Bible says, and he prayed. But it had to be like about a that long kind of a prayer. because he didn't have time to go to his prayer closet. He didn't have time to, but he'd already prayed prior, and then he prayed again just in that moment. And we find here that God worked and God answered, and Eleazar sought the Lord. He was specific in his request, and he had this task. He'd been given this responsibility that was overwhelming, that was daunting, that was so significant, but he sought the Lord this evening. Your life and my life needs to be led by God. I asked you at the very beginning of the message, how many of you know that you need God to lead you? I need God to lead me. You need God to lead you. We need God's leadership. Listen, I don't know if you found it to be so, but we can make a mess of our lives in a hurry. We really can. We can get on our own path and we can start doing things our own way, and I mean, it just can become a disaster in a hurry. I need God. You need God. I find in the text of Scripture not only this responsibility and this request, but I want you to notice, number three, if you're taking notes, that Eleazar pauses to rejoice. I hope this evening that as we read once again verses 26 and 27, I read it by way of introduction, that we would take a moment to consider the response of Eleazar to answered prayer and how he rejoices. The Bible says in verse 26, "And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord." I mean, verse 26, again, is not a long verse, but oh, what is captured in this single verse of Scripture. A man who is rejoicing. Why? Because God has answered prayer. He knew. He had prayed so specific that it was absolutely certain. And we find that here in this text of Scripture that he bows his head. And then notice what he says in verse 27. As he bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord, verse 27, he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." He wasn't equipped with a GPS as we are to know which home he should go to find a wife for his master's son, Isaac. But instead of having Siri or some other application on your phone that would give you GPS directions, he had God. He had God. And he believed that God could lead him directly to where he needed to be. And he pauses to rejoice, and he says, "I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." This evening, I don't want you to miss the point that he took time to rejoice, that he took time to pause and thank God for answering prayer. See, in our lives, yes, it's the month of November, but we understand that though in our nation we have a holiday in this month that's Thanksgiving, that is, as the people of God, we're to be a thankful people. We're to give thanks all the time. And our lives must be marked with thanksgiving, with times of rejoicing, that when we pray and when God answers, that we don't just keep rushing through, but we take time to pause. Do you think, I think if I were in this situation, I would have wanted to haste to get to the house, to get the permission, to get back. But he pauses to rejoice. He pauses to bow down and to worship the Lord and to recognize that God did this in your life and in my life. God does answer prayer. And how often do we stop and pause and just rejoice? Thank God for what He's done and how He's worked and how He's answered that prayer. Notice, if you will, take your Bible and turn to the New Testament, the book of Philippians, if you will. And we'll end with this verse of Scripture tonight. But I want you to look very quickly here in Philippians chapter number 4. We're familiar with many of the New Testament verses and principles that teach us about giving thanks. And certainly those are worth our consideration and committing to memory, because we are to be a thankful people. But I want you to notice in verse number 6 of Philippians 4, It's a familiar verse of Scripture. The Bible says this, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." Notice it says, "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." This evening, our praying is important, but our rejoicing is important. That we take that time to pause and rejoice and thank God for what He does in our lives and how He answers. And you know, if you keep reading, and we don't have time this evening, but if you were to keep reading through our text of Scripture here in the book of Genesis, you'll find that as Eleazar carries on and he continues on his journey, you know what he does? He rehearses exactly what God did. He rehearses how God worked, the prayer that he answered, that he prayed, and the way that God answered. And he rejoices. He in fact says it this way in verse number 48, "And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son." He further said this in verse 50, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord." Listen, when we pray specifically and God answers, we can have that confidence. This is what God's will is. This is God's path. You say, "But it might not be the path that I've chosen." Yeah, I wanted the wind to blow different with those leaves that day too. And I believe with all my heart that God could have done that. But He taught me a different lesson that day. And for us tonight, when we look at Genesis and we look at this account and we see, yes, this significant event in Israel's history, but there's a lesson for each of us. Is God leading you? Do you recognize that you need God's leadership in your life? Are you asking Him to lead you? Are you following when He does? See, the idea is not, "God, you tell me what you want me to do, and then I'll review it and decide if I want to sign up for that." That's not the way that we look at it. The way that we look at it is, "God, here's my life. I'm going to do whatever you lead me to do because I'm your servant. I belong to you." It's like writing that blank check of our life. We just say, "Lord, here's my life. Just sign, here I am, Lord." And we need God to lead us. And when He does, we need to rejoice. What a great passage. God led me. The Lord led me. And this evening, I hope that we'd be able to see in our lives God's leadership. We'd be able to look back and say, "The Lord led me. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be." Why? Because God led me. I'm confident. I prayed and I sought the Lord. And I know that the Lord led me. And oh, we can rejoice and we can march forward, knowing that God led us. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for Your Word. And Lord, many songs that we sing about where You lead, we'll follow. And I have decided to follow Jesus and many others like them. Lord, we're thankful for this example, this passage. I thank You for the faith of Abraham that impacted and influenced Eleazar. And I thank You for the prayer of Eleazar, and God, I pray that You'd help us to pray with that kind of faith, or to pray specific prayers. There'd be no doubt when You answer that it's You that have answered. I thank You for His rejoicing, that He took that time to pause, to rejoice for what You did in His life and how You led and the kindness that You showed. God, I pray that You'd help each of us tonight to recognize, as Eleazar did, that life is too difficult for us. We need You, God. We need Your leadership. We need You to lead us day by day, step by step. God, I pray that You'd help us to surrender to Thee. Lord, help us to trust Thee and to obey Thee. I pray that in the moment of invitation, that You'd have Your will and way in the hearts of Your people, and we'll thank You for it. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.